with the word of prayer, and the purpose of the prayer is to test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is the true teacher. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you're the sovereign, omnipotent God, ruler of all things. But at the same time, you are compassionate, merciful, understanding of our frail nature. Father, I pray your Spirit will be with us this morning as we study your essence, that we will relate to who and what you are in our prayers, in our daily lives, in our decisions. Father, we pray your Spirit will open our eyes this morning to the passages of scriptures we're looking at. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Okay, let's open the Word of God to Psalm 86, which is our psalm of interest right now. Psalm 86. In dealing with prophecy, Phyllis Musack from Florida sent me a book on Psalm 83 dealing with the prophecy that's involved in it. So we'll have to look at it somewhere along the line. And I'm getting a sense that I need to get a lot of things done real quick. One, I'm getting old. Two, we may be getting close to the rapture. So I want to try to beat both of those. I'm too late on getting old, but not on the rapture. Okay, Psalm 86, and we have moved to verse 15. But you, O Lord, are a God, merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and truth. Now, I want to remind you, look at that conjunction, but. What or whom is he comparing God to and why? Now, verse 14 is the issue there. Verse 14, O God, remember we're studying a prayer. Arrogant men, those that set themselves up to be my judge, have risen up against me, and a band of violent men have sought my life. First there is judge, and now there is executioners. And they have not set you before them. They are so concerned with attacking David, they do not consider David's God. But, in contrast to his enemies, to those who judge him, and now want to execute him, David turns to God. And now we come to the fifth essence of God this morning, noted by David, translated truth. Now, if you have the NASB, and you look in the margin, it says faithfulness. And right out of the Hebrew lexicons, the Hebrew word means truth or faithfulness. God is faithful to himself. Now, what do you think about this? Are you always faithful to yourself, to what you are? Not are you faithful to the Lord, are you faithful to what you are in the Lord? Remember, you are who you are in Christ. That's who you and I are. Not who we are in the flesh. So again, are you faithful to who you are in Christ? Who and what you are? No, we're not. We all sin. Every time we sin, a mental attitude sin, a sin of the tongue, an overt sin, we are being unfaithful to ourselves. We're being unfaithful to who and what we are in Christ. Think about that. Not are you faithful to the Lord. Are you faithful to what you are in the Lord? And every time we sin, we are declaring I'm unfaithful to myself. And then, of course, to the Lord. You can be faithful to yourself by being in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Galatians 5. Every now and then I like to remind you of these as a whetting of your appetite to always be sure you're in the filling of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit. Love. Joy. That's inner happiness. Peace. That's inner peace, regardless of what's going on. Long-suffering, that's patience in regard to others. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. You're not faithful in your flesh. We're faithful by result of the impact of the power of the Holy Spirit. You will be faithful to what you are in Christ when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot be unfaithful to yourself when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you cannot be unfaithful to the Lord when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. But I just want you to start thinking about, that's just faithfulness to the Lord. Are you faithful to yourself? Are you faithful to what you are in Christ? That's who you and I really are, not who we are in the flesh. Now, let's take a look at this essence of God. Faithfulness. Faithfulness of God. I want to just give you a bold principle introduction. This is the ground of all Christian hope. All your hope, all your confidence is based on the faithfulness of God. Your hope for today, your hope at death, your hope in eternity. It all depends on the faithfulness of God. So many Christians are trying so hard to keep their salvation, working hard under the law to assure themselves of the resurrection. People, these things do not depend on us at all. There's nothing you can do about it. They all depend completely on the essence of God's faithfulness. If we don't have eternal life, that's God's faithfulness, the lack of it. And the fact that you and I are confident, we go to bed and go to sleep at night, knowing that old prayer, now lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep, if I should die while I sleep. Why do we pray that? Or think that, we may not pray it, but that's how we go to sleep. We close our eyes. If anything happens, I'm okay. I'm with the Lord. And I'll be with Him for all eternity. Why can you and I have that confidence? Faithfulness of God. If He's not faithful, we have no hope. If He is not faithful, we have no assurance. Replacement theology. If God is not faithful to His covenants, He doesn't have to be faithful to us. If He's not faithful to Abraham, He doesn't have to be faithful to us. If He could promise Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob the covenants, and then in the church age decide, no, I don't want to do that, they're no good, then He could take away our salvation too. I want you to understand the faithfulness of God is fundamental to all of the essences of God. All of the essences of God. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Why? Faithfulness. Two things. Faithfulness, and that's His essence. He cannot be otherwise. But faithfulness is also His essence. He cannot be otherwise. See? So it's in keeping with all that we know about God. So let's note a few things. One, we are saved by the grace through faith, that not of ourselves. Two, this salvation does not depend on us. The assurance of our salvation does not depend on us. The security of our salvation does not depend on us. It depends on the faithfulness of God. Our salvation depends on the faithfulness of God. He says, believe in my Son. If you do that, you're saved forever. John 3:16, Ephesians 3:8-9. It's amazing to me how many so-called Christians how to add to it. Baptism, rituals, you can lose your salvation, all this kind of stuff. See? And that's, as many people teach you, lose your salvation. You live in sin. If you're not faithful to the end, you lose your salvation. John Henson, I love the kid, Tommy Ice. The pre-trib, Tommy Ice is a Calvinist. And we love, every year, we just give him a hard time. We just say, are you sure you're, yes, I, no, you don't know that until the end. You may not be faithful at the end and you're not in. No, I know. No, you don't know that. And we just let him have it. And he gets so frustrated at us. But they don't know. People, the having of salvation depends on the faithfulness of God. See? Understand that if you can lose your salvation, God is not faithful. The security of salvation depends on the faithfulness of God. The problem with most of these people who claim that you can lose your salvation is that they have a list of things you've got to do. You've got to be baptized. You've got to be moral. You've got to keep the law. And if you do those if things and do not do them, then yeah, you can lose your salvation. If our salvation depends on our perfection, we can lose it. If our salvation depends on us doing something, you can lose it. But since our salvation depends not on us, but on the work of Christ on the cross, the work of the Holy Spirit at the point of faith, our security is in the faithfulness of God. So, repentance, water baptism, joining a church, all of these kind of things, be faithful to the end, they all bring to mind the faithfulness of God. If salvation depends on us, then we can lose it, since it depended on us. But people, since our salvation depends on God, depends on His faithfulness. I cannot stress to you the importance of this last essence of God David mentions in verse 15, faithfulness. And in part 3, our eternal security, resurrection at the revelation of Jesus Christ, our spending eternity with Jesus Christ, all depend on the faithfulness of God. Think about it. If God is not faithful, we're to be most pitied. We're to be the most pitied people on earth if God is not faithful. But since God is faithful, we have that confidence, that security. But I want you to get in your mind, your confidence, your peace is based on the faithfulness of God. And I don't know if you thank Him for His faithfulness, but you should. We should thank Him. I have found myself studying this, adding it in my prayers, finding it that I'm just automatically doing this now. Thank you that you're faithful to your word, to your essence. So let's look at the faithfulness of God. Roman numeral 1. Faithfulness means being trustworthy. Means being reliable. Therefore, it refers to the faithfulness of God. This is another of the issues as who is qualified to be God. Satan proclaimed, I am, in Isaiah. But he fails to be what God is. Satan is not faithful. Satan is the father of lies. John 8:44. He's a father of lies. He's not faithful. He just changes their wind. There are millions of people on earth who worship a God who is unfaithful. Allah. He lies. He changes. And yet people believe in Him and trust Him. He's as unfaithful as you can get. But you and I have a God faithful. Faithful to His essence, faithful to His word. Roman numeral 2. Faithfulness in regard to what? Think about this. If we say one is faithful, What do we mean? Faithful in what respect? We say that God is faithful. What are we saying? What does it mean, God is faithful? First, God is faithful to His essence. Faithful to who and what He is. That's why I started a few moments ago. Are you faithful to who and what you are? Are you faithful to yourself? No, we're not. Every time we sin, mental attitude, sin of the tongue, overt, we're not faithful to who and what we are. We are not faithful to ourselves. God is faithful to His essence, to who and what He is. See? God is faithful in respect to all that God is. It is impossible for God to be unfaithful. This is part of the attributes of God. Faithfulness. It's impossible for God to be unfaithful. See? It is possible for us to be unfaithful in our flesh nature. But it is not possible for God to be unfaithful. God does not choose to be faithful. See, we will. I choose to be trusting the Holy Spirit. That means I'll trust, be faithful to myself. We choose. God doesn't choose to be faithful. He is faithful. That's who and what He is. He cannot be otherwise. He is faithful. It is impossible for Him to not be faithful to His own essence. By the way, something wonderful is going to happen to each one of us at the resurrection. When you and I receive our resurrected body, you're in a whole position. You will never be able to be unfaithful through all eternity now. As long as we have our sin nature in this fleshly body, we can be unfaithful. After the resurrection, you receive a resurrected body, and you cannot be unfaithful. And that's really wonderful. We don't have to think about it, worry about it. The angels are locked in. But you and I are not locked in as long as we're on earth in this fleshly body. We could choose to be unfaithful to ourselves, unfaithful to the Lord. But the time is coming, you won't have that choice. You will not be able to be unfaithful. And that'll be wonderful. But I want you to understand what God is right now. He cannot be unfaithful to what He is. This is part of the character of God. This is an essence of God. Faithfulness of God is the effect of the attributes of God. His perfect character. Faithfulness of God hinges on the essence of God. God is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, faithful. So when God promises something, He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. Meaning, no one can stop Him. No one can stop God from doing what He promises. God is omniscient. Meaning, that He knows all things. All things in the past, present, future. People like to say you can lose your salvation if you sin. Let me tell you something. When you and I believed in Christ as Savior, God knew. God knew that we were going to commit a lot of sins. And yet He still saved us at that point. I was saved at the age of 7. I don't even want to think about how many times I've sinned. I don't even want to think about how many times I've sinned there today. Much less 70 years. But He knew it. Every sin. And He saved me here, saved all the way through to eternity. And the same with you. God is faithful. God knows all things. So, He knew all the obstacles in regard to His faithfulness. God is truth. When He says anything or promises anything, it's based on absolute truth. God cannot lie. Allah lies. In fact, it's in His decrees in the Quran. Lie if it'll serve your purpose. Satan is the father of lies. God cannot. And very important, God is veracity. You know what veracity is? Veracity is unchanging. When God promises something, He's not going to change what He's promised. Next, God is faithful in what He promises. God keeps His word. He's faithful to His essence. Secondly, He's faithful to what He's promised. He keeps His word. When God says you're saved by faith in His Son, you can trust Him that you're saved. You believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. You don't need to improve on that. You can't improve on that. You don't need to wake up every morning and tell Him, I believe in your Son. That's Hebrews chapter 6. You've got to move on. Move on from the elementary things of salvation to spiritual maturity. Fulfilling your purpose on earth. See? What God says, when God says you have eternal security, that's it. You have it. He cannot take that away. So God, being faithful, means that God is faithful to His own essence, and He's faithful to His word that's in this book. Not dreams, not hallucinations, but His word. All right, Roman numeral 3. There is only one person who is totally faithful to you, and that's God. The fact that you are alive and have peace about eternity is because of the faithfulness of God. You're trusting His faithfulness, whether you realize it or not. Do not fall apart when someone you have trusted fails you, lets you down. Cursed is man who trusts in man. See? Or, as it's found in the center of your Bibles, look at Psalm 118. This is the center of your Bible. Psalm 118. Equal number of verses before this, equal number of verses after it. Psalm 118, 8, and we're going to throw in verse 9. Psalm 118, 8. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. How about that? That's the center of your Bible. That's the heart and core of our lives. Verse 9. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. And you know why it's better to trust in the Lord? Because He's faithful. People are fickle. People are fickle. Every woman that's married a man knows he's fickle. Every man that's married a woman knows she's fickle. We're all fickle. God is faithful. See? We may strive at keeping our word, but we're fickle. We're weak in the flesh. So therefore, we strive to be in the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can be faithful. Alright, Roman numeral 4. This is one of the first essences of God proclaimed. Look at Deuteronomy 7:9. Deuteronomy 7:9. And I love the first word, no. We're studying the faithfulness of God. You got to know it. Now Deuteronomy 7:9, no. Know something. And we know it by studying the Word of God in and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Know, therefore, that God, that the Lord, your God, He is God, the faithful God. The first things He wanted the Jews to know, the Hebrews to know, that God is faithful. He's faithful. He's going to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant. He's going to fulfill it. I was overwhelmed. I don't know where it came from. But Friday night, Hal Lindsey said 21% of the Jews in Israel believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's just amazing to me. I had no idea there were that many. If you had asked about it, I thought maybe 1%. Now, so look at verse 9. Know, therefore, the Lord, your God, got to know who your God is, He is God, the faithful God. Don't get it confused with Allah or with things of the material world, idolatry, Mariology, all this kind of stuff. No, this is your God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love Him and who keep, I hate it when I can't turn a page, keep His commandments. I'll never forget, years and years ago, I think it was in the late 50s, there was a politician on television, and he got his notes all startled up. He was going through them. He said, oh, heck. And just started ad-libbing it. All right. Keeps His commandments. Now, here is what is wonderful about the faithfulness of God. Israel didn't keep His commandments. Yet God is faithful to His own word, to His own promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Replacement theology is blasphemous against the faithfulness of God. See, they'll say, Israel was not faithful. God doesn't have to be faithful to them. God takes away and replaces it with the church. No, no, no. His covenant to Abraham people was unconditional. Remember that. The way you signed a contract was not with a pen in front of lawyers. What you did was, you took an animal, you cut it in two, and there were several animals they used, and then both people in the covenant walked through between them, signifying they agree to this covenant. Well, only God walked through the Abrahamic covenant. Abraham was sound asleep over here by God. I love God. He uses sleep. Remember He put Adam to sleep to make Eve out of his rib? Well, He put Abraham to sleep to make the Abrahamic covenant. When He wants to do something, He doesn't want us to get in the way, He puts us to sleep. So, I like that. Y'all just go to sleep, get out of my way, I'll do my will. See? So, He walked through it. That didn't depend on Abraham. Doesn't depend on the Jews. Doesn't depend on the Hebrews. It depends on God. So, at the second advent, He will fulfill His covenant. See? Replacement theology doesn't understand God. God made a promise to Abraham. One-sided. It didn't say, if you will do this, Abraham, I will do that. No, it didn't say that. It doesn't say that to us. All He says to us, if you trust me, I'll save you. Boom, it's that simple. See? Okay, Romans number 5. Every day, all day, most of us walk in peace in regards to our eternal life, our salvation. But whether we think about it or not, we can do this because we walk by faith in the faithfulness of God. Alright, let's open the Word of God, the Gospel of John, chapter 10. John, chapter 10. Now, Kent's going to help y'all. He's going to cheat. I have to open my Bible. Alright, John 10, 28, 29. John 10, 28, and 29. Verse 28. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So, I used to use the old principle of you're in the hand of God. Actually, we have two hands. That Jesus Christ has us, and then God has us over Jesus Christ. You can't get out. You're double locked in. Even if you want to get out, you can't get out. See? I always like people that, I used to believe in that, but I don't believe that anymore. And I just say, well, I'm so sorry for you, because you're going to be in heaven. I'm so sorry. You don't want to be, but that's where you're going to be. But people, once you believe in Christ, Christ grabs you and locks you up. You can't get out of that hand. And then God, the sovereign, omnipotent God, puts His hand over it. You can't get out. That's how secure. See? We don't have things that are secure in this world. We don't have things that are secure. Do you take, what? Do you take Jews for Jesus? Paul, 1 of 5 Jewish millennials believe Christ is God. Alright, 1 of 5. Believe that. Now, The thing is that we don't have anything. Do you take each other till death do you part? Well, depends on how you define death. Death of my love? Okay. See? Marriage is not secure. The government's not secure. There's nothing secure. And therefore we don't really grasp the security we have in Christ. That security you cannot and will not lose. So let's read 28, 29. Verse 29, my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Verse 28, you're in his hand. Verse 29, you're in the Father's hand. Let's look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:13. All right, 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 13. If we are faithless, we sin. He, God, remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. People, you cannot lose your salvation. You can deny him, but he can't deny himself, and you're in him. That's what it means. When you and I believe in Christ, the Holy Spirit puts us into Christ. We're in Christ. I often like to identify who and what you are. You are who you are in Christ. Let's identify Christ. Who is Christ? Christ is the total of all who believe in him. And he's faithful to himself. He cannot deny himself. See? Parents sometimes reach a point they deny their children. They deny them in a will. They don't get any money. They don't get any inheritance. They deny that they're even theirs. All this kind of thing. See? I always love the story. Father just, he denied that the children were his, and married somebody else, and then lo and behold, he has a chance to come across his children, and his wife that he's been telling all along, those aren't mine, she looks at him, she looks at the children, she looks at him, she looks at them, she looks back, she says, you lied! For years! You can't deny it! See? But that's what we do, as parents. We try to deny it, but it doesn't matter. They're still yours. People, we belong to Christ. You're his. Cannot lose it. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. 1 Corinthians 1, 4. I thank my God always. I hope you do that. I hope that there's not a day in which two or three times you don't thank him. I'm sorry it took old age to me. I thank him every time I get wherever I'm going in the car. Thank you that I made it. Lila, you too. Yeah. Lila and I, thank the Lord every time. We get to the grocery store, thank you. We get home from the grocery store, thank you. See? And so, I've learned to thank him a whole lot more. On all kinds of things. I thank him every morning that made it through the night. My wife and I are safe. Thank him. So Paul starts off in verse 4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him in all speech and in all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. They were waiting in Paul's day. Who will confirm you to the end, blameless, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a phenomenal verse. How can I be called blameless when I know I've sinned today? I've sinned this, I've sinned here. He's going to declare me blameless in that day. Verse 9. Powerful. God is faithful. Through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. That's just a phenomenal phrase, which we can give thanks to God for. People who believe they can lose their salvation have three major problems. One, they do not understand what happened at the cross. They do not understand. And I'm talking about Tommy Ice. I'm talking about Calvinists. I'm talking about anyone who believes you can lose your salvation. No matter how you may preach about the cross, no matter how you may roll your eyes when you sing about the cross, you don't understand it. You don't understand what happened at the cross. If you think you can lose your salvation, all sins are forgiven. And how God saves once you believe in Him, in Jesus Christ. The second problem, they are so impressed with their sins that they're not impressed with the cross. How their sins can counter the work of Christ on the cross. Oh, my sins are just too great. Your sins are just too great. That doggone John MacArthur, saved by grace through faith, and now he teaches a gospel that you have to be good. That's just a shame. But what happened was, he became so just irritated and hurt that members of his big congregation were sinners, adulterers, see, fornicators. And I agree with him. That's horrible. We want to take them out of that. But you don't take away their salvation to do it. You give them the Holy Spirit. He doesn't give them the Holy Spirit. He takes away their salvation. See, you weren't saved. You can't be saved if you do that. So it's just amazing. So the first problem is, they don't understand the cross. Second problem is, they think too highly of their own sins. And third, they do not trust the faithfulness of God. Their sins, and they could counter the faithfulness of God. They live in fear of loss of salvation. Why? They do not have the peace of the faithfulness of God. God is faithful to keep His promise, to keep you solid, secure. No one can cause you to get out of the hand of God. You can't even get yourself out. Angels can't get you out. God cannot get you out. God cannot get you out of your salvation. Why? Because of His faithfulness. Because of His immutability. He cannot do it. That's how secure we are in God, in Christ. God is faithful. Not man, not God, not angels. You cannot undo the faithfulness of God. Our confidence in salvation is in the faithfulness of God. Our confidence to live our lives is in the faithfulness of God. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 23. Hebrews 10:23. I'll give you the chapter, but until I at least find the book, I'm not going to tell Kent the verse, so I can get there too. Alright? Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. There you have it, people. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, without doubting, without doubting for a moment. He who has promised is faithful. I am so thankful that when I did believe in Christ at 7 years of age, I went to a church that taught, a Baptist church that taught the faithfulness of God. And for 70 years, I've never doubted my salvation. I'm not bragging, because it depends on the faithfulness of God. But I just have never have. And I've sinned. I've failed. I've not accomplished what I'd hoped at various things and stuff. But my salvation has always been locked in. And I hope yours is. No matter what happens to you in your life, Don't ever do that. I understand this happens to a lot of Christians on deathbed. They start worrying. They start doubting on their deathbed. They're close now. And they second guess. Rather than just giving thanks and looking forward to it, they counter it. And I hope this never happens to any of you, here or on the internet, that when you are face to face with death, you're calm. I'm going home. I may not like the condition I'm going home in. I may not like the circumstances I'm going home in, but I'm going home. And that I'm assured of. And there's peace. I wish I had written down the lady's name in the 15th century when they took her because she would not deny Christ and they were burning her. It was going to be how she was going to be executed. And her last words in the flame, she was a single woman. She says, "I'm going home to my husband, Jesus Christ." And I love that. That kind of confidence, that kind of assurance, kind of takes a niche off that pain. Doesn't take away the pain, just takes a little bit off of it. But you know you're going home to be with the Lord. Just great confidence in the faithfulness of God. Romans number 6. Now, in regards to salvation too, or spirituality, recovering from sin back into the power of the Holy Spirit depends on the faithfulness of God. We do not have to be afraid because we sinned. All sins are forgiven on the cross. All you have to do is trust. And people who will doubt that are those who say, "You've got to repent. You've got to confess to be filled with the Spirit." Have I confessed enough? Have I repented enough? Have I done enough? People, it doesn't depend on you. Spirituality depends on God. It depends on the faithfulness of God. How do you know you're filled with the Spirit when you put your trust in Him? How do you know that? I've been asked that so many times. And you know what my response to them is? How do you know you're saved when you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Well. It's the same principle. I'm trusting God. Not me. I'm trusting Jesus Christ. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit. Therefore, all we have to do is go back to what we stopped doing. Walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. God is faithful to the person and work of His Son on the cross and to the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I'll tell you in a minute, kid. First John chapter 1, verse 8. 1 John chapter 1, we'll start at verse 8, and we'll go through chapter 2, verse 2. 1 John 1, 8. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Therefore, this wonderful shepherd says, if we confess our sins, so what does that mean? It means if we stop denying and say, "I've sinned." This isn't a laundry list. I've sinned. Quit denying. The confession comes off of verse 8. Well, you denied. See? If you deny, you say you have no sins. You deny it. So stop denying it. Acknowledge it. He, God, faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to actually the correct translation to have already forgiven and already cleansed us from unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, a lawyer. We have a defense lawyer with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for all of those who are of the whole world. In other words, sins of the whole world have been taken care of. They're already done. So all you have to go back is to faith. That's all we have to do. Alright, brings us to point 7. Not only are we trusting in God for salvation, 1, eternal life, 2, spirituality, but we're trusting God for his faithfulness in holding the world, the universe, together, all under his control. The only reason the sun shines, the only reason gravity is consistent, because of the faithfulness of God, people. That's all it is. If God's not faithful, the whole thing's going to fall apart. We're going, boom. Hate to even think about what it's going to be, what it'd be like. Let's look at Psalm 36. Psalm 36, 5. Psalm 36, 5. Your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Now, last week we studied loving kindness. Your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies, plural, to the universes. Look at Psalm 89, verse 2. Psalm 89, 2. For I have said, loving kindness will be built up forever. In the heavens, you will establish your faithfulness. He holds the universe together, people. Psalm 119, a great psalm. Psalm 119, 89 through 91. Psalm 119, 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth, and it stands. Why? Because of his faithfulness. They stand this day according to your ordinances, for all things are your servants. People, the whole universe, the fact that we can stand and sit, take notes, do all this, depends on his faithfulness. All to do with his faithfulness. I feel so sorry for so many young people that are taught evolution in school today and not taught the truth of who holds all these things together. Laws of gravity. Well, wait a minute. Who instituted those laws? Who maintains those laws? The Creator does. Alright, Roman numeral 8. God's faithfulness is vital to our prayer life. God's faithfulness is vital to our prayer life. Now, we're studying a prayer in Psalm 86 where he talks about it. So the faithfulness of God is vital to our prayer life. Psalm 143. Psalm 143, verses 1 and 2. A psalm of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. Answer me according to your faithfulness, in your righteousness. Do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no man living is righteous. So here, it's so important to our prayer life. We can approach him in prayer because he's faithful. Thank you for your faithfulness. And then I call on your faithfulness this day. We can always give thanks for the faithfulness of God. Look at Isaiah 25, verse 1. Isaiah 25, 1. O Lord, you are my God. Let me tell you something. God likes to hear that. God tells us He loves us. He likes to hear that we love Him. He likes to hear that we know He's our God. There's not a day that goes by. Not a day that I don't tell my wife I love her. I hope she knows that. If I miss a day, okay. But I want her to know it. God wants to know it. There's nothing arrogant. It's humility to tell God you love Him and to let God know you know He's your God. So verse 1, O Lord, You are my God. I have no other God. I will exalt You. I will give thanks to Your name. For You have worked wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. Faithfulness plans. Why do we study prophecy? He's told us what's going to happen. We see the faithfulness of God. Faithfulness of God. Jesus born in Bethlehem, a little unknown, uncared about little town. That's like Christ being born in Plano. Big deal. Who knows about Plano? See? Insignificant little place. Bethlehem, little among all the great cities of Israel. But he's told, that's where was he born? Bethlehem. How was he born in Bethlehem? Well, Rome made a decree, and so Joseph and Mary had to leave and go all the way down to little Bethlehem. Whatever it takes, he's going to be performing his word, people. He's faithful. He is faithful. He's faithful to his very word. So, God is faithful in our prayer, in His prayer life, in our prayer life, so we should thank Him for it. Now, let's see, here we have time. Roman numeral 9. Roman numeral 8, God's faithfulness is vital to our prayer life. Roman numeral 9, God's faithfulness is seen in His protection. His protection of us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. 1 Corinthians 1, 8. Who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord? God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is a powerful verse. God is faithful. Verse 8, who will also confirm you to the end. You're stable to the end. Whenever that occurs, you're going to be, whenever you die, from this point, you're stable. You're confirmed. You're in. Nobody can get you out. To the end. You are confirmed. You to the end. Blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the second advent. When He comes and steps foot on the Mount of Olives. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. So, God is faithful. Alright? Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. Now, may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and your soul and body, trichotomous, body, soul, and spirit, that's what we are as believers in Christ, unbelievers, body and soul only, believers, body, soul, and spirit. Alright, let's look at verse 23. Now may the Lord, the God of peace, Himself sanctify you, set you apart entirely, and may your spirit, human spirit, soul, and body be preserved, complete, without blame, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Body here is the resurrected body that we have in Christ. This is what we have in Christ. Verse 24. Faithful is He who calls you, and He also will bring it to pass, because He's faithful. God tells us what's going to happen. He's faithful. It's going to happen. I love to study prophecy. I love it. Go back to Daniel 7 and 9, 1 Thessalonians, Revelation. Why? Faithfulness of God. To me, it's already happened. It's already happened. That's how sure I am of it. We started the book of Revelation years ago. First page I gave you in that booklet. You open up the cover, what did it say? God wins. It's faithfulness. All the deaths that are going to occur with all the trumpets and seals and all, God's faithful. God is faithful. And now, 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. See? You cannot be indwelled by Satan. If you, in His spirit, you'll be protected. You'll be protected. I tell people, be very careful of flirting with demonism. Satan loves to see anybody interested. Because even if you're a believer, if you're interested, he'll get on you. He'll get on you. I don't even like that they advertise the exorcist or things like that on my TV. I believe in demons. I believe in them. Are there extraterrestrial people? Yeah, demons. There are a lot of them out there. See? They're real. They're our enemy. They're the enemy to your marriage, to your Christian life, to this church. Know it. And garrison yourself in the one who is faithful. And that's our God. Okay, we'll resume here next Sunday morning. And can we, yes? All right. Let me mark this one down so I got it down here. Okay. Point 5. Roman numeral 5. Every day, all day, most of us walk in peace in regards to our eternal salvation. But whether you think about it or not, we can do this because we walk by faith in the faithfulness of God. Yes. Huh? Did I skip 5? Oh, okay. 6. In regards to salvation 2, recovering from sin and back into the power of the Holy Spirit depends on the faithfulness of God. All right? Did I skip that point? Yes. Okay. All right. Well, if I do that, you got to let me know. My computer messes up sometime on the numbering.
Split your ears.
Heavenly Father, forgive them. Thank you. See there. Your wife is wonderful. Thank you. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We praise you for your thankfulness. We rely on your thankfulness every day, all day. We are so thankful you're a faithful God, that we can count on your faithfulness day by day. Pray your Spirit will take the things we've seen this morning, use these things to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.